Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Condemned, Lord Walewski, Book 3, by Vasily Mahanenko, translated by Taylor Marg Velashvili, narrated by Kevin T. Collins. Chapter 1.
You mean we're never returning to the Academy? I clarified once again, assessing my new lodgings with interest. The Silver Goose wasn't the most fashionable hotel in Turb, but compared to where I'd been forced to live for the past month, it was the peak of cleanliness and perfection. The two-room suite we'd settled into was on the fifth and final floor, with a phenomenal view of the fortress, academy, and even the Imperial Palace. The greater part of the capital was at my feet, and I, unaccustomed to such magnificence, was rendered completely breathless. Who would have thought that the capital of the Tsaric Empire could be so beautiful?
You're no longer a doomed soldier, Max. Your status is still not entirely determined. I must discuss it with the High Priest. But you are no longer obligated to waste your time on useless humdrum at the Academy, replied Mother Alaya, who had donned the purple robes of a bishop. The girl was only 18 years old, my age, but she behaved as if she were a wise old man who had lived a long and eventful life. Of course, this behavior could be attributed to post-traumatic shock. Just 3 hours ago, the girl nearly perished in the cleansing fire of the church. But even before that, Alaya had seemed not of this world.
As for useless humdrum, I strongly disagree. Some of the evil engineer's training sessions are worth something. Plus, I have the right to 10 rapier classes. Since I'm no longer a doomed soldier, I should have my own personal weapon. Dance, history, law, there's a lot more the Academy has to offer me, and I have obligations to the Chancellor. He believes the rift underneath the Academy has reached a critical depth and must be closed. He invited me to participate in this event. I agreed. All my stones were pumped up to level 6, and they promised to give me a facet and new stones to boot once I figure out which ones I need. Plus, we've got to deal with my weapon situation. My Katars have already demonstrated their limitations. On level 8, I met beasts that could block steel. All in all, the Academy is a useful place, and I shouldn't avoid it.
All your prior promises and obligations are no longer valid. From now on, you have only me. If someone requires your assistance, they must go through me, Alaya responded calmly.
I couldn't bring myself to call the girl Mother Alaya. What kind of mother was she? So we're not going to help the Academy with the rift?
One facet, buffing your stones to level 6, and the promise of some unknown stones in the future?
She looked at me like I was a stupid little boy.
That's the price for clearing a 5, maybe 6 level. All right, the rift under the Academy is a unique case, since it's constantly being cleansed, so you could agree to go to level 10 for a price like that. But they're talking about level 14, and maybe even level 15. No one has ever closed rifts that deep, so the Academy won't be able to get away with awarding you trinkets. I think we should visit the Chancellor as soon as possible and discuss the conditions for your participation and further education. I agree that you need an education and polished manners. Closing the rifts is just one part of what you and I will be doing.
You want to send me off to hunt converts?
They're much more dangerous than beasts. The creatures living beneath the earth are ordinary animals, even if they are dark. The beasts found among humans are the true monsters, able to influence your consciousness and the purity of your thoughts. I tried to prove to the High Priest before that your place was among the aristocrats and not in the rifts, but no one listened to me. Father Urg believed that doomed soldiers have no place in high society, but now everything has changed. Yes, Max, you and I are going to hunt down converts. This is the top priority. The rifts are a nice bonus and way to earn some money. Nothing more. Now let's go. I see no reason to postpone our meeting with the Chancellor.
In the middle of the night? I gazed pointedly at the setting sun.
Do you have other plans?
To be honest, yes. I've never been to the capital. The incident with the convert doesn't count. Look how beautiful it is. Ultimately, I just want to walk around the city, go shopping, sit in the park, listen to music. Remember, I'm still a person, not just a tool for closing rifts or sniffing out converts. Alaya stared at me as if seeing me for the first time.
Max, let's outline some boundaries here. My duty entails overseeing your development and progress, so that you grow stronger and learn to destroy the Dark Ones in all their manifestations. However, I do not intend to oversee you sitting on a park bench and enjoying the beauty of the city at night. No shops, no music, and no other bells and whistles distracting from the main goal. You are a weapon in the hands of the light. I am the hand that wields this weapon. That's it. You won't get anything more. Just because you stopped being a doomed soldier doesn't mean you're suddenly free. I understand perfectly well that you are stronger, faster, and more dangerous than me. Try to run away, and I can't stop you. But I know you won't. From now until the end of our days, we are bound together, Max, whether you like it or not. So let's learn to live in peace and harmony. I will provide you with everything you need, but in return, I require your absolute trust.
You'll provide me with everything. Okay, I have a need you can fulfill right away. I need the three doomers I closed the rift with. What needs to be done to transfer them under your leadership?
I do not know, Alaya responded honestly. They did not discuss this point with me. I agree that you need help. I agree that some of the skills these doomers have are quite useful, especially since we will constantly be negotiating contracts with the fortress. I will think about how I can arrange this, but I cannot promise that I will succeed. They are doomed soldiers who are slaves of the fortress. I do not know who you are, but you are definitely not a doomed soldier. You don't even have an internal fortress ranking anymore. It does not apply to you.
So I guess the 41,000 ranking points I earned are just down the shitter? I was outraged. What about the fact that, for instance, a protection amulet that blocks lethal damage costs 3,000 points? Are you trying to say that 13 amulets have been stolen from me? 13 extra lives that could end up being vital to our cause? Alaya frowned and said thoughtfully,
I didn't really consider that, if I'm being honest. You're absolutely right. The fortress doesn't have the right to deny you your rank. After all, you received these points when you were a doomed soldier, as well as 10% of the booty that you are owed for cleansing the fault. Max, I will resolve these issues as soon as possible. If you recall, 4 hours ago I stood tied to the stake, awaiting my meeting with the light. These things weren't really on my mind. All right, let's go. We have to get to the academy before dinner.
The perks of my new status were immediately apparent as soon as we made it to the front office. No one looked askance at me. No one had whispered discussions of where this doomed soldier had come from, and I appreciated this the most. No one made me do anything. Alaya took care of everything, renting a room, driving to the academy, even ordering food for the morning. The girl was like a roosting hen blowing dust off her chick. I can't say that I was upset, or even unnerved. For the first 18 years of my life, servants had fulfilled, if not all, then at least most of my desires. The fact that Alaya had voluntarily assumed this role was completely her choice, and I wasn't going to argue. It suited me perfectly. The academy greeted us with the usual evening hustle and bustle. It was dinner time, and most of the students were hurrying to the dining room. I involuntarily snuck a glance at my peers who had just finished training. I wanted to see if at least one of them had a pastry like the ones filling my former roommate's bags. But I didn't notice anything of the sort. A huge crowd of people passed by us, but none of them carried rolls. "Something's bothering you," Alaya had obviously learned to read my emotions. "And it's bothering you a lot. I feel the tension, but don't understand the cause. Will you elaborate?" I wanted to snap at her and keep silent, but something inside me resisted. It wouldn't be ideal to start my relationship with my personal servant by cursing at them over such a trifle, especially without any reason. "When I was a Doomer, I lived in that house," I said, pointing to the Doomer dormitory. "Two men lived with me. Ordinary peasants who got their hands on some magic stones and put together a gang of robbers. They were caught, sent here for training, and in a matter of weeks they managed to establish a small business reselling sweet pastries. This morning, when I ran back to the house, there were 21 bags of sweets that my roommates promised to distribute by the end of the day, but I'm looking at the students and don't see them holding anything of the sort. It's quite possible they've already eaten them, or plan to eat them this evening, or the pastries are still in the bags. It's nothing, of course, but for some reason it bothers me." "Two peasant doomed soldiers?" Alaya frowned. "As far as I know, the fortress didn't send anyone to the academy while you were here. Where did they get the stones from? How did they manage to activate them?"
"What do you mean they didn't send anyone? There are two scruffy-looking doomers, one tall and one fat. They were wearing the academy's steel blockers. Apparently there's something they didn't tell you. I don't know the answers to your other questions. We didn't talk much."
"The fortress didn't send other doomers to the academy, Max." Alaya stood her ground. "Let's pay your roommates a visit. The chancellor can wait."
Shrugging, I led Alaya to my former dormitory. The students shot strange glances at us. It wasn't every day you saw such a young cleric wearing purple robes strolling through the academy. Opening the door, I let Alaya inside. But there was no one in the house. No roommates, no bags. Only the saccharine smell of baked goods, which seemed to have soaked into all the bedsheets, proved that I was not delusional. Alaya looked at me, demanding details, so I had to show her the beds and bedside tables of the two men. My personal attendant shamelessly reached inside, pulling out personal belongings and underwear. The girl was not satisfied. She walked around the house, looking everywhere she could. Finally, standing next to me, Alaya said,
"All right. We've determined that they exist. Now the question is, where did they run off to? It's dinner time now, as I understand."
"Maybe they're at the training grounds? Training their mental block?"
"How are they doing? Were they able to pass through the first cave?"
"First? From what I remember, they finished the entire initial level and were preparing for the second. Again, we didn't talk much. I was never around."
"Two peasants who adapted to the first level of the training grounds in a week," Alaya repeated thoughtfully. "Remind me how Karina Fardy coped with this."
"Poorly," I agreed. "She had to relearn everything under the careful guidance of Father Nor.
Meanwhile, two robbers who are no match for your partner passed this test with ease. Why didn't you find it strange?
Because I had enough unpleasant things going on in my own life without keeping an eye on others. Finally convinced the Doomers were here?
I'm convinced that two men are living here. Clean men. Have you met many thieves in your life, or simple peasants who care so much about their clothing? Look, everything is laundered and folded neatly. I happen to live in the countryside for a while. There, no one cares so much about their clothing, especially underwear. I want to talk to this pair. Take me to the training grounds.
Shouldn't we invite Father Knorr? The Academy is his diocese. He'll tell you everything about these two. The look the girl gave me could have frozen me solid. However, she nodded.
A rational idea. Let's go to Father Knorr.
Elia, can I ask you a question? A personal one? She stopped and spun around abruptly to look me in the eyes. Some time passed, after which she said,
I don't know what you want to ask, but something tells me I should speak a little about myself. I was given to the church at the age of 3, right after the Dark Ones killed my mother, brothers, and sister. I was the only survivor. That was 15 years ago. All this time, my father was preparing me to replace him, became the personal attendant of the evil engineer. That's why I know so much about you. My father has always been a model for me. For a long time, he was the leader of the Dark Inquisition. He was a gray cleric. I went out of my way to prove that I was worthy of him, that I deserve my position because of my own capabilities and not because of the blood I share with the infallible Father Knorr. I became the best in all fields and was set to replace my father in 10 years. No one thought that another Dark One acknowledged by the Fortress would appear in the Empire, but reality turned out to be much more multifaceted. The High Priest offered me this position, and I agreed, knowing full well that you would see me as a girl of the same age, but not a personal attendant. This brought me to the stake. What else? Elia is the name given to me by the church. I don't remember the one I was given at birth. I was never interested in my past. The church has been my family since I was 3 years old, and the rest does not matter. Perhaps that's everything. What did you want to ask?
Nothing now. I was taken aback by such openness. Let's go. Father Knorr's usually in his office at this time. It turned out I was right. The light burning in the cleric's window and the servant of the light standing at the door, protecting Father Knorr's peace from pesky students, proved that Father Knorr was at his desk. His guard did not stop us, but first knocked on the door.
"What occasion brings Mother Elia to my office?"
Father Knorr remained the same as ever. Dry, insensitive, and accustomed to seeking out darkness in everyone. He paid no attention to me at all. This suited me perfectly well. The less I communicated with this man, the stronger my nerves would be.
The two doomed soldiers who lived under the same roof as Max, where are they?
They should be there, Father Knorr replied calmly, but something that he alone noticed told him that we'd already been to the house. Then they're in the rift. After successfully completing the initial level, they are permitted to visit the rift up to level 2. Why have you taken such an interest in ordinary doomed soldiers?
Over the past month, the Fortress has not sent anyone to the Academy, except Max, Elia said slowly, emphasizing every word. Where did these two come from?
I had to hand it to Father Knorr. He didn't argue, ask again, wring his hands, or try to figure out who was to blame.
He silently stood up and walked over to a cabinet where all sorts of folders were stored. Removing one of them, he returned to his desk and started leafing through it.
"The two doomed soldiers were admitted almost 4 weeks ago. Admissions documents, waybills, signed and sealed. You are mistaken, Mother Alaya. These two were sent here by the fortress.
2 hours ago, I had a conversation with the High Priest, in which he mentioned that the number of doomed soldiers is dwindling, that only Max has been sent to the Academy in the last month. I don't think Father Erg has been kept out of the loop. Father Nor, I need to see these two with my own eyes. Do you think they are in the rift? Escort us there."
Again, he remained calm. Turning over the documents, he found a waybill with my name on it. For some time, Father Nor studied the documents, looking at one, then comparing with the other, and finally gave his conclusion.
"The documents were written by different people, although they bear the same signature. Perhaps different clerks, but one signer. There is nothing special about this. It is common practice. I checked these two personally. There is no darkness in them. If you are right, the question arises, who in their right mind would voluntarily agree to become a doomed soldier? Who is trying to deceive the Academy?"
"If I knew that, I wouldn't be so worried. There were 21 bags in the Doomer dwellings this morning. 21, Father Nor. You know where this number appears."
"That is impossible," said Father Nor,
showing his first hint of emotion for the entire conversation. He frowned.
"But it is a fact. Max, what size were the bags? Ordinary backpacks?"
"No, they were huge. You might even call them potato sacks. Definitely over a meter high, and I'm certain there were exactly 21 of them. I counted them when I changed into my Academy uniform this morning. Where does this number appear?"
"There are no bags in the residence now," Alaya said, ignoring my question. "Not even a hint. I checked everywhere they could have hidden them. I have a very bad feeling, Father Nor. When did the doomed soldiers gain access to the rift?"
"This morning," Father Nor was still scowling. 2 hours before we left for the fortress. Follow me. I hope you are wrong, Mother Alaya. Call the evil engineer. It's urgent. I'll be waiting for him at the first level of the rift."
This last part was addressed to the cleric standing guard. He ran off at full speed, but we were already approaching the administrative building at a quick pace. The entrance to the first level of the fault, if you weren't traveling through the mine, was located here, not far from the torture chamber. The first alarm bells went off in my mind as soon as we reached the basement. The huge steel doors leading into the rift were open. The guards that were supposed to be monitoring the area were nowhere in sight.
"Blood," Alaya pointed to several red stains on the doors. "They forgot to wipe them off. Didn't notice. Max, go ahead. I approve the use of force. Those who came here have no business with the light."
The anxiety gripping Alaya had transferred to me. I recalled my roommates once more. Ordinary, shaggy peasants, just like most of the inhabitants of our former barony. They had their peculiarities, of course, but their behavior had been quite standard, in line with the way any ordinary peasants who had seized power would act, but the commercial spirit they seemed to have acquired was troubling. This was extremely unusual for robbers. The first cave on level 1 was empty. No resources, no dark beasts, no students getting ready for dinner and bedtime at this late hour. Simply silence. But perhaps not. A muttering sound began to reach my ears, emanating from the second cave.
Checking that I had 5 mana and recovery elixirs on my belt, my mana bar was full and my golden dome was activated, just in case, I slowly crept forward. Father Nor and Alaya kept their distance, but kept pace. That's why they didn't hear the muttering immediately, but as soon as they did, "Max, stop them!" Father Nor cried, suddenly remembering my existence. "This is the Dark One's song! They're doing a ritual!" There was no point trying to sneak anymore. His shout must have echoed all the way down to the Riftmaster's cave. I rushed forward as fast as I could go. I passed through the corridor and ran into the third cave, where I noticed a strange group of people, but then was dealt such a brutal blow that I was knocked 5 meters to one side. I rolled inside my golden dome of protection, which absorbed the damage as my mana sank by 10%, and I saw the reason I'd been sent flying. A huge protective dome, spanning nearly half the cave, was surrounding the strange group. Jumping to my feet, I ran up to the dome and struck it hard. My body ricocheted, but the katars penetrated unhindered. Protection against magic. Damn, why didn't I have a crossbow? As I jabbed through the dome with all my might, I was finally able to make out what was going on inside. 21 bodies lay on the floor, forming a monstrous circle. The bellies of the poor fellows were ripped open, their insides pulled out and dragged to the center, where they united into a terrible lump of flesh. Nearby was one of the 2 suicide bombers, the fat one. He had been stripped naked and, like all victims, appeared to be dead. His entrails spilled out of his open stomach and onto the floor, but he wasn't dead yet. He was still breathing and his head thrown back to the ceiling. The tall doomer was reciting the dark spell and slowly walking in a circle, slitting the poor student's throat. Only then did I realize that those whom he had not yet reached were also still alive. I began beating frantically against the dome, hoping to destroy the shield and interrupt the monstrous ritual. Father Nor and Alaya appeared beside me, but they could not help in any way. They didn't have their crossbows. Finally, the doomed soldier completed the circle, and as he straightened up, suddenly noticed us.
"What a fortuitous meeting! Father Nor, in the flesh, came to personally witness his own failure. What, you couldn't detect the darkness within us? That's because there is none. Darkness can only be sensed in those who have souls. We gave ours up to our Lord to become something more than ordinary humans. People like you can't detect people like us. The Lord will be pleased that you, the doomed soldier who has foiled his plans twice, are also here. Now you will die along with everyone else at the Academy."
"Why'd you call, Mother of Scrawn?"
The evil engineer ran up to us. Like me, he immediately tried to break through the shield, but flew off to one side. The dome held.
"It's no use," the doomed soldier laughed hysterically. "You can't stop me. It's already done. 21 sacrifices made, only 1 remaining. Go, brother. Scrawn is ready to receive you."
The fat doomer standing there with his guts out suddenly sprang to life. He raised his hands, and I saw a knife in them. The evil engineer crashed into the protective dome again and again ricocheted off. Cursing, the Dark One began to break off the tip of the spear that he'd retrieved from the rift, but didn't have time. The Fat One finished the movement, drawing the blade down his throat. Unable to remain standing, he fell to the ground like a corpse.
"The location has been set. The strength has been given. Let the passageway open!"
With these words, the tall doomer took off his jacket, exposing his torso. The evil engineer finally broke the tip off of his spear and launched it with great force without needing to swing, but was too late. The beast inside the dome slashed through its own stomach with one swift movement and its throat with a second. For a moment, the floor under the corpses flickered with red light, after which the dome disappeared. The tip of the spear crashed into the already dead doomed.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?